Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fadero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF_Spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, another player profile. I'm here this week, today, with Felix Sharp. Felix, how the hell are you?
Listen, we're talking about football in March. Shane, I'm love to be here with you. This is a podcast that I've listened to, and you know, since I've started podcasting myself, had a lot of kind of landmark moments, and I would include this as one of them. But really just glad to be – you and I have been in a crazy 32-team league together, you know, for a couple of years. But just glad to be with you here tonight and to talk about one of my favorite players to talk about.
Yeah, I love it. We're going to get to that. We're going to hope they didn't see it on the show title. We're going to sneak into it a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about your podcast, Stevie Debate. First of all, I appreciate that. By the way, like, that's the nicest thing anybody said at the beginning of any of my interviews. Fanero and Dave get all the nice guys that say nice stuff. Felix stepped it up tonight. So I want to talk about Devi Debate podcasts, but I really want to hear about CampusToCanton.com, something a little bit newer you're starting, right?
CampusToCanton.com. If you're not familiar with a Campus to Canton league, it's essentially two leagues in one where, you know, each individual owner has two teams. You have a full college team and you have a full NFL team. And very much like the, you know, Devi leagues, once your college players graduate and go to the NFL, they become a part of your NFL team. The thing is that it's scored. Both leagues are scored. So, for example, you know, the buy-in might be whatever it is. Let's say it's $100 or even, you know, half of the pot goes to whoever wins the college championship. Half the pot goes to whoever wins the NFL championship. It makes it great. It makes it great because you dig deeper into the players that you roster, especially on the college side. You know, you got to know those players from Western Michigan and Colorado State and FIU. You know, you get to learn those players. It can be a little bit intimidating at first, but man, you do it for a season, and it's my favorite format. We started the website campusdecanton.com on March 1st, I believe. Been really well received. We've got the deepest NFL and college rankings, if you ask me. So campusdecanton.com is the website. Yeah, it's been fun. I don't know if you're in a Campus to Canton league, Swags.
I'm not.
We gotta get you in a Campus to Canton league.
I have to jump that hurdle. It's kind of it seems like so much, but it sounds really exciting. Something Felix and I have in common though is that he's from here, I live here, but we're both from an area called Kalamazoo, Michigan. So I wanted to ask you, does that like end up affecting you and Corey Davis? Because you mentioned Western Michigan. And I can tell you it affects me. Like
Kalamazoo, stand up always. I grew up going to Western. As a matter of fact, Tim Lester is the coach there now. He was the quarterback when I was going there. And I remember because we played at Northside Rocket Football. And I remember the cheerleader, you know, would run around with the flag. And I remember one time our bad kids grabbed the flag and they started running a little bit closer to the field and not so close to the stands. I mean, I used to Western in Michigan is like a big deal now football wise, but it wasn't when I was growing up. So like the stadium was just like open growing up. So in high school, mm-hmm. we would go to the stadium to run stairs to exercise. I don't know that you can do that now because, you know, PJ Fleck was there and they're a big deal now. But you see it on my profile. I'm very proudly from Kalamazoo. Anytime there's a player or somebody doing something, especially like, you know, I just say Kalamazoo, stand up all the time, including all of you folks getting your vaccines. Some of those vaccines are coming from Pfizer right here in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Yep. Ironically, I'm in Kalamazoo, Michigan and haven't gotten one yet. But we will. I'm not high priority. I'm not worried about it. I will. And then you do the Debbie Debate podcast.
The Debbie Debate podcast, man. We've been doing a lot of good stuff. It's myself, Austin Nace, and Matt Bruning. Matt Bruning, formerly of Dynasty Nerds. Actually, we're all formerly of Dynasty Nerds. And we went to do this venture at campuscant.com. But we record every Wednesdays. We've been doing some really good stuff. We interviewed freshman quarterback, Ohio State freshman quarterback Kyle McCord, who's competing for that starting job. We interviewed him a few weeks ago. We've got some special guests coming up later on that if you listen to this podcast, I'm sure you know who these folks are. It's just been really a really good time. It's been really well received. And we talk about college football, the NFL. We talk about everything. So the Debbie Debate is my other baby. The other thing I do is write. I mean, I love writing. I had a very well received story on Texas wide receiver Troy Omier after interviewing some people in his inner circle. That's on SB Nation's Texas website, Burnt Orange Nation. But my other writing is on campusdecant.com. So when I have as much time as I can devote to football and talking about football and being on YouTube and Twitter and podcasting and writing, I try to give it the time because I really do love doing it. I grew up playing football. I played at Grand Valley State University. And since you know, I've stopped playing football, this is kind of my outlet for it, is being able to talk about it. So,
and when did you kind of get into Debbie and take that step? Because that came before campus to Canton, right?
Yeah. So I have always been into the NFL draft. You know, you probably got young listeners, so they don't remember that the draft was one day. It was all on a Saturday, all seven rounds. And by Sunday, I had the entire draft. I'm talking about when I was like 9, 10 years old. I would have the entire draft posted on my wall, all 7 or 12 pages, however long it took.
Wow, yeah. You know,
it probably took like 20 minutes to print out back in those days. So, and I would have those on. So I've always been into kind of where did these players come from? What are their stories and that sort of thing? I forgot what the question was. What was the question?
Oh, it's just when, you're doing a good job.
When did I get to?
You're answering it Debbie, perfect.
Yeah, Debbie. No, so I've really it's been getting invited into this one campus to Canton league where I started paying attention again. When I was going through high school and, you know, like I was looking to see who was being recruited because I was competing against those guys. I remember a wide receiver named David Grimes, who was from Detroit, ended up going to Notre Dame, was like one of the highest rated recruits in Michigan at my position at wide receiver. And so, and Deshaun Jackson was in my class. Was probably the highest rated receiver in the country at that time. So I've always I had paid attention then, and then, you know, it got away from me. And then just in the last 18 months or so, have I really started to dive back in.
Deshaun Jackson just announce his retirement? No, he joined the Rams. He joined the Rams. Is that the same thing?
Oh, wow. Him and Matthew Stafford?
Yeah.
They're going to be together? That's a really good pair. Quick story on Deshaun Jackson. The job that I currently have now, when I interviewed for it in 2014, one of the people that interviewed me, for some reason, like we were talking about Deshaun Jackson, and I told him Deshaun Jackson was my age, and I knew how old he was because he was in my we graduated the same year. He was like, he's not that old, and he basically like looked or that young, and he basically like double checked me and during an interview, like a legal interview, about how old Deshaun Jackson nice. Was. You know, I got the job, and he no longer works there. So
that was it. End of him. He didn't know about DJX. All right, Felix, are you ready to tear into this player profile?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Rookie Thievers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
All right. Who did you choose and why?
I chose Tamarion Terry. And the reason is because there's nothing better in fantasy football than shooting from half court and hitting. Like getting value from your late second, third, fourth round picks. That's the best feeling in fantasy football. Think about like in the past couple of years with Gardner Minshew and Chris Carson. Chris Carson's a good example. Last year, Travis Fulgham, Scotty Miller, mm-hmm. Chris Godwin,
yep.
Philip Lindsay, like these types of players, when you can hit on a player like that and get equity in your team, I mean, you're just going to be that much better. So I love shooting from Damian Lillard territory. And quite frankly, the player that we're talking about, Tamarion Terry, did I say his name already? Tamarion Terry isn't shooting from that far. But I love shooting from distance in fantasy football and trying to hit from that far. So that's why we got to talk about Tamarion, because he's falling. You look at all these drafts, you look at mock drafts, and like, you know, he's going late. And he's definitely going to go late in your fantasy, in your dynasty rookie drafts. So that's why we got to talk about
it. Yeah, I love it. And some of those guys are the important guys, because everybody's talking about those first five guys, the first round, even after landing spots. Those are the names we're going to hear so much. But some of these other guys, they could really – that's where you could win some of your rookie drafts, is if you can hit in the second and third round a little bit here. So how long have you been watching him?
Well, I mean, I've been watching him since, I guess, his 2019 season swags, but – when I dive in on a player, like I really dive into mm-hmm. them. So I mean, I can tell you his backstory from 2016 as to how he went and got recruited by Florida State, and the single play, the one play that led to him getting the offer and that kind of changed his trajectory from high school, from Ashburn, Georgia, and why he wasn't heavily recruited. So I don't know how much of that you want. I can give you a 30-second
version. I'm here for it. I'm here for it, because I was even wondering, like, do you start watching some of these players at the high school level? And that's kind of why I do ask these questions like that. But, I'm here for it.
Yeah, I know. I definitely do. Tamarion Terry is from Turner County, Georgia, Ashburn, Georgia. You're talking a population about 3,800. Median income, $18,000. These are farmers. The main industry there is peanut cropping. This kid didn't grow up going to the Rivals camps and the Nike camps and the Adidas camps that everybody uses to get recruited. So by his senior year, when most players have already committed to schools, most highly touted recruits have already committed to schools by the beginning of their senior season, he only had one offer, and that was from Troy. There's this weird play where he's on offense and his quarterback runs, and he and the quarterback fumbles. Everybody thinks the play is dead, and so they stop. A defensive player picks it up and boom, is gone the other way. Almost scores. You see Tamarion teleport into the screen to knock the ball away from this kid, this unsuspecting kid who was you're talking about like a 99-yard sprint. And he teleports into the screen at the last minute. I'm talking about something similar to what DK Metcalf did this season. To what Larry Fitzgerald did in the Super Bowl trying to hawk down James Harrison. A play like that. And I think he was clocked at close to, you know, like 21 miles per hour on this particular play. His senior year, he has that play. He gets late offers from Auburn, you know, all the SEC schools. Ends up going to Florida State with his high school teammate, Ontario Wilson, who is still a wide receiver there now. So that is that's kind of the quick and dirty version of how Tamarion got from Ashburn, Georgia, to Florida State.
Yeah, and I've watched him a little bit. He looks fast, like you said. I mean, he's fast. So what do you start watching for in wide receivers? Go ahead. I apologize, Felix.
No, that's all right. The funny thing is that Tamarion doesn't really fit exactly what I like in wide receivers, because I like the wide receivers who are tremendously sudden and kind of snap off routes. And oftentimes they're not even the best athletes. One of my favorite players the last couple of seasons was Deontay Johnson, coming out of Toledo and playing with Logan Woodside with the Rockets there. And that's the type of wide receiver he is. Tamarion Terry isn't that. He's too big and long and fast to move that way. He is a long striding build up speed type player, but you talked about his speed. I mean, There is not another size speed combo in this draft class like Tamarion Terry. There just isn't. Now, he has his flaws in this game, mm-hmm. but I would put his athleticism up against anyone in this class. You're talking about a player who's 6'4", and his last year came in at 220, and his pro day is this week, I believe. He should run. I mean, you're at a pro, and at the combine, I would tell you he would run a sub 4.4. In a pro day, I'm going to tell you he should run a sub 4.0 and then 4.3s. That's how athletic this kid is. I mean, he's had some ridiculous clocked miles per hour times in the 21, like, point three, like, just ridiculous times. You're talking about some of the, if they were in the NFL, they would be the fastest times recorded. And that's what we're talking about with Tamarion Terry.
I heard somebody saying maybe the Kansas City Chiefs.
Everybody wants to put their wide receivers in Kansas City. I would love to see Tamarion in Kansas City. I tell you what he is really good at is yards after catch and the deep ball. I mean, and the other thing is if you put him in Kansas City, nobody's paying attention to Tamarion Terry. I mean, you got to guard Tyreek and you got to guard Travis Kelce. No one would pay attention to him. The other place, I mean, I don't know that he is a number one receiver. I think that he is his ceiling is an excellent number two receiver. So the places where I would like to see him, you identified one, Kansas City, but everybody wants their receivers right, in Kansas. Yep. But also Green Bay and San Diego. I would love his skill set with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen there in San Diego. I just think that, and then the way that Justin Herbert can push the ball downfield. That's what we want to see we want to match him with a quarterback that can push the ball downfield, can be aggressive downfield. Because, man, you know, again, he's 6'4 and he has this blazing speed. He's going to be a problem if you line him up against a receiver that demands double teams, like Keenan Allen, like Tyreek Hill, like Devontae Adams. That's just going to be a problem because he's going to take advantage. He will eat up single coverage.
Yeah. Well, and Keenan Allen, I mean, like you said, then you got Mike Williams, Austin Eckler. I mean, if he's even like a fourth option in his rookie season, I'm loving that. I'm all in. I mean, that might even be better. Gets him more open in coverage, gives him some time to get into the NFL for his learning curve, get a little acclimated. I like that landing spot a lot.
In 2019, Tamarion had six touchdowns. He had six touchdown catches of at least 60 yards.
Wow.
Six touchdown catches of at least 60 yards and 370 plus yard reception.
So you mentioned some of the stuff he does well. What are some of your concerns? Yeah, mentioned some of those, to be fair.
He can't catch. I mean,
that's important.
He's a wide receiver. He's a wide receiver that struggles with consistency catching the ball. Now, he's gotten better. He's gotten better, but consistency with catching the ball is an issue. And it's weird because you see him make the difficult catch sometimes where he has to go over his head and he's got a wide receiver draped around his waist and his hips and he makes the catch. But it doesn't happen all the time. I mean, I've written this story on campuscant.com, plain scary. Go read the article. And there's a play against Louisville his freshman year where he runs like a slant near the end zone and the ball like hits him in his face. Now, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if the sun was in his face or what have you, but, and there's a, you know, so that's an issue is consistency catching the ball. But if you're going to put him on a team where all he has to do is run goes, and then you're going to throw him the same way the Broncos used Demaryius Thomas. Remember when they would just, when Peyton Manning was there and they'd just throw him screens?
Yeah.
This is the type of player that is dangerous. It will be absolutely dangerous if used that way. Do something simple with him. Give him the ball behind the line of scrimmage and he can absolutely take it to the house. But so the first problem is his hands. The second problem would be, you know, some would argue that he is a character red flag because of how his season ended at Florida State with Mike Norvell's team. This is what happened. This is the context that people need to understand with how his career ended at Florida State. Remember, we got the pandemic, so everything's going into that season. Everything's different. He loses his grandmother, who he was very close to right before the season starts. Also has knee surgery. That season has knee surgery. You can tell that it limits him the entire season. Against Notre Dame, he had 145 yards, I believe, on 9 catches. I've got clips in that article. You can see he's limping through that game. Doesn't play the next game. Doesn't play the next two games, I believe, because he had to have a cleanup procedure on that knee. Comes back against Pittsburgh, I believe. He's not healthy. Goes like has two catches for 15 yards and then leaves the team, Mike Norvell just checks out and says, well, he's no longer with the team. And people are going to characterize that as a red flag. I tell you what I think happened, and now I'm speculating here. He wasn't healthy to start the season. They pushed him to play. He played for this team. He was injured enough where he had to get a second surgery within a 2 to 3 month period, and they were still pushing him to play. And he said, no, I'm out of here. I'm gone. I'm done. I'm going to the NFL. So that's what I think happened at Florida State. But because of that, because of, you know, he didn't have as good of a season as he did in 2019, he's falling in drafts. He's falling in mock drafts. He's falling in rookie drafts because he is perceived to be a character risk. We don't know if that's true, but he is perceived to be a character risk, and it largely has to do with how he finished his 2020 season. And I'm telling you, like, you're talking about two surgeries, lost grandmother, pandemic.
A lot of stuff, give the kid a break. Yeah. And like you said, give the kid a break. By all means, he's a kid, and even us as adults at some points could use some practice with our emotions. So yeah, give the kid a break. Absolutely. You kind of mentioned a lot. Like, I'm going through some of the questions that we have on the sheet, and I'm kind of like, well, we kind of went over this and we kind of went over that. But as far as like a career arc, like, what do you think his ceiling could be? And I want to like reiterate to our listeners at this point the patience that we understand we need to implement to these rookies. Like, everything that we're expecting for these guys isn't just going to magically come year one. But what do you feel like the ceiling is for that career arc? Like, a number two on a team, a number three? Like, I don't want to do a player comp, but is he just Rashard Higgins?
No. He's a much better athlete than Rashard Higgins. I think that at best, he is a very dangerous number two. Think about Marvin Jones, you know, okay. The type of career that Marvin Jones has had. He's more athletic and he's more capable than Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones was very much a professional at the wide receiver position. I think that you can compare him to what Chase Claypool did last year. I think that, I mean, we don't need to do a player comp, but I think he's 150% of Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Now think of what MVS has done for Green Bay. Yeah. I'm saying that this player is probably 150% of that. Same issues, because MVS will straight up put the ball on the ground, but MVS can't, he can't take a screen and stiff arm a tackler and run to the end zone. MVS is very much a deep threat and kind of a deep threat only. Tamarion Terry's game is much more versatile than that. He has the same flaws. He has the same flaws with consistency, but he's a much, much more versatile player.
You mentioned I mentioned Kansas City, and then you mentioned the Chargers. What kind of draft capital do you see going into Tamarion? And you mentioned he's probably going to fall because of some character issues, but what kind of draft capital do you imagine going into him, and where could you actually see him going to see some of these year one opportunities?
Yeah, I think that there are a couple of things that are working against him as far as draft capital. One is how deep the class is. There are, whether or not he has a character red flag or not, whether it's just perceived, there are lots of players who don't in this class. And this is an extremely deep wide receiver class.
Yep.
The other thing is how he finished his 2020 season. Wasn't as good as 2019. So you got both of those things. You got a super deep wide receiver class with players who just don't have red flags as far as, character red flags. And then you have him not having as strong of a season. But again, we're talking about two surgeries, you know, not being healthy the entire season. When you look at mock drafts, they all got him round four or later. I don't know that he is. We saw how Chase Claypool arrived in Pittsburgh last year. Tamarion Terry has the same ability. So I'm not going to be surprised if he gets taken in round three. But at the same time, I remember how talented Equanimeous St. Brown was coming out of Notre Dame. And then he went in the seventh round.
Yeah.
So it's going to be between round three and seven. That's going to be between round three and seven. And we'll see, you know, if he hits in that range. Well, I mentioned Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Everybody, I mean, that's the year that the Packers took three wide receivers in the draft. They took Jamon Moore. They took Equanimee at St. Brown, and they took MVS.
Yep.
So if you consider the fifth round as kind of like a benchmark or a threshold, let's see if he gets that fifth round draft capital. And I'll be just fine with that because, again, you're not taking this player in the first or second round of your dynasty rookie draft. You might,
right.
You might sleep in the back of the second round. But if you can get him in the third round, like how many times do we have to see one of these size, speed specimens come through at a position and everybody fade them for us to learn our lesson? I mean, we saw it last year with Chase Claypool, and that's the type of player that that Tamarion is.
Man, so how do you feel about Chase Claypool now with Juju coming back? Because all of us were kind of speculating, maybe a little too much, and then Juju goes back with him.
I think Juju Smith-Schuster is a glorified tight end. That's what I think. And so I don't think that he's really it doesn't bother me at all with him going back there. Claypool is a player who can stretch the field. Like the skill sets of those three wide receivers, I think that they complement each other really, really well. They all do different things. You've got Juju, who could be the tough guy over the middle. You've got both Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool can stretch the field, but Chase Claypool presents a little bigger, stouter frame, and Deontay Johnson is a more sudden route runner and all that stuff. So that doesn't bother me at all. As a matter of fact, I think keeping the status quo for that wide receiver core is probably a good thing. The problem is, you know, at least for Dynasty, what's going to happen when Ben leaves? You got to hope, if you're a Steelers fan, that they get somebody in there, especially in either this class or the next. I'm a Debbie guy. Like, this class is a super deep quarterback class. Excuse me. The 2022 is okay. It's not deep. You've got some guys, Matt Corral from the Ole Miss. You've got, and then Spencer Rattler and Spencer Rattler and Sam Howell. Like, it's not as deep a quarterback class in 2022. So you got to hope if your team needs a quarterback, you better hope that they get one this year. And the Steelers are one of those teams that you got to hope that they get a quarterback so that those players that we named, Johnson, Claypool, Juju, that they can maintain their value after Big Ben leaves.
Who are some players in this draft class that you are a player, preferably, that you're higher on than you feel consensus is?
One has been Tommy Tremble. Now, I've been banging the drum for Tommy Tremble for a while because he's an athletic, violent blocker, and he's going to run a 4.55 at the combine at 250 pounds, 6'4", 250 pounds. Like, it's not that hard at the tight end position. Now, I've been banging the drum for him for a while. He's been somebody that's flying under the radar because you had Cole Kmet on the one end at Notre Dame, and then you had Michael Mayer, a phenom freshman tight end on the other. So he was kind of sandwiched in between. He doesn't have the eye-popping stats, but neither did like George Kittle. So I don't – doesn't care. Coming out of high school, Tommy Tremble had the fastest 40 time, like one of the for tight end, had one of the fastest spark, one of the best spark scores. And I mean, was just a super athletic kid. And he has, like, both his dad and his grandfather played in the NFL. So he's got NFL bloodlines and he's flying under the radar until Lance Zierlein. You look at Lance Zierlein's grades at NFL.com. He has him as the second rated tight end to Kyle Pitts. Highest tight end to Kyle Pitts, above Pratt Freiermuth, above Brevin Jordan, above Hunter Long, any tight end that you want to name. He's got Tommy Tremble number two. So Tommy Tremble is going to start climbing up draft boards. That's, you asked for one, so I'll give you one, and it's Tommy Tremble because of how versatile he, this is a kid who can line up in line. He can line up in the slot. He can line up in the backfield. You can put him at H-back, and he can play the fullback if you want. But for fantasy purposes, he's going to be, He's a super athlete. I'm telling you, he's going to run a 4.45 or something like that. He's very athletic, 6'4", and he just wasn't, his receiving ability wasn't used at Notre Dame because he was sandwiched in between two really good players. But he's going to have a more productive NFL career as a receiver than he did at Notre Dame.
And maybe still, even if he climbs up, maybe still a little cheaper than some of the other tight ends. And all of them are going to take a minute to hit, even the good ones. And in a lot of the leagues we're playing in with that 1.75 tight end premium, that I like that you mentioned a tight end for that. What about somebody you're a little bit lower on?
Oh, that's a good question. Who am I lower on? I don't know what to make of Rashad Bateman. And it's one of those things where I'm scared to say those things publicly. But I think Rashad Bateman, I don't know what position he played.
Afraid to say it publicly. I like it. You're the second one that said Bateman with me.
Oh, really?
Yes. Matt Hicks said Bateman.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. He's just a tweener. You know, he's not a slot receiver. He's not, you know, some elusive athlete. He's not really an X. So that means he's probably a Z. He's probably a flanker. And, you know, I don't know what, like, I know that he had all of this production at Minnesota, but go watch Minnesota's tape. They put their best receiver. They did this with Tyler Johnson, who's now with Tampa Bay. They put their best receiver in the slot, and then they attack safeties with double moves, pump fakes, all of this stuff. Like, they really attack the safeties, and you don't have Rashad Bateman, really, or Tyler Johnson, for that matter, matching up against cornerbacks. Like, he's not playing against cornerbacks. Like, they're taking advantage of the middle of the field, of the hash marks. And I don't know that that's translatable, because that's a system thing. And we saw, like, everybody knows Tyler Johnson had the 18-year-old breakout age. He was super productive in college. But then he didn't get invited to the Senior Bowl. Didn't get invited to the Senior Bowl, and the NFL was just down on him. I'm worried that Rashad Bateman is going to be the same way. Like, so I'm lower on Rashad Bateman, and I don't, quite frankly, like, I can miss on him, and there are so many receivers in this class. You'll be fine. You'll be just fine if you want Rashad Bateman.
Yep. And that's just it, too. Like you mentioned, there's so many receivers in this class, but there's also, at the end of 2021, there's going to be so many deals on receivers from this class just because of what we mentioned earlier with us not being patient enough with positions. And then you can go get, like, Denzel Mims right now, relatively cheap, guys like that. That's going to happen next year. Can't tell you how many are going to be right or wrong, but it's going to happen again.
Jalen Reagor.
There you go. Cheap, right? Yeah. Even Pittman and Campbell.
Yep.
So, yeah, I love that. How about something you think that these fine people should be doing in their rookie drafts this year, whether it's a strategic move or just something you want to look at a little bit differently, maybe something you don't want them to do? It can't be just like you can't say anything about Rashad Bateman.
if you're in a super flex league, I think that. The chalk should be chalk for the first four, Lawrence, Fields, Wilson, and Lance. And I'm very going close to saying that Mac Jones should be the number five pick. I am not as high on the, so I think that that's one piece of advice. The other piece of advice is I would say is, the running back class is extremely shallow. In my opinion, it's extremely shallow. So don't, like, be afraid to take multiple shots at this stacked wide receiver.
Yes.
Class. I mean, you're going to be able to get somebody like Eli Moore in the second round. You're going to be able to get somebody like, I mean, Rashad Bateman is going to, you're going to be able to get Jalen Waddle in the second round in a lot of drafts, especially super flex leagues. So that's, I would say, like, I know that we're always saying, like, draft a running back, draft a running back, draft a running back in rookie drafts, but I feel comfortable about two at their value. I mean, I feel comfortable about Javonte. I feel comfortable about Najee. I don't feel so comfortable about Travis Etienne. And then after that, it's just like, who am I? I'm not taking anybody with a first round pick. And there is so much value in the second round that I'm probably not going to take anybody in the second round. You can go ahead and take Kenny Gainwell in the second round if you want to.
Yeah,
I'll take Andre Stevenson in the third, and we'll see what happens.
Dude, I'm so with you. Yeah,
Eli Mortensen,
so. Yeah, and that's that's what I've been saying too. Like, even if you feel like your need is running back, don't assume that you're just going to find one this year in the second round or even late first. Because, like you said, there's probably only two or three, and that after that, I mean, I'm not saying nobody is going to hit, but I'm not using those picks on running backs at all this year. And I think you're right on the 1-5. I love that, but I hope you're wrong. And that's why, like, so when people have come to me and they're like, oh, I'm trying to trade away this 107 and this 110. And to me, I'm like, dude, I want whatever quarterback falls to me there. you know what I mean? Kind of like that's I'm yep. kind of waiting for whoever lets the quarterback sneak through a little bit, like Herbert last year. If you need a quarterback, it could be your chance still. And man, I hope they don't listen to you. I would totally love it if they did, and because I love Superflex. In the Superflex world, like yes, I would love that rookie draft, but man, I'm hoping I've got some 107s on some teams. I need a quarterback, and whew.
And some are fading some of the quarterbacks in this class because, one, you have Trey Lance, who played 1 year, didn't play last year. Then you have Zach Wilson, who didn't have a great 2019 and explodes in 2020 against a subpar makeshift schedule that they had to that BYU had to redo because of the pandemic. I don't care about that. Both of those players are extremely, extremely talented with the physical gifts to be quarterback ones. Quarterback ones. So I've seen both of those. I didn't think that Trey Lance would fall in drafts, but I've seen Trey Lance fall to like the 107 and Zach Wilson fall late in rookie draft and super flex rookie drafts. That's ridiculous. It's not going to happen in my drafts.
One last question on our way out of here. Devonta Smith or Ja'Marr Chase?
So I said earlier that I like the wide receivers who snap off routes, who are extremely sudden athletes. Devonta Smith is that type of wide receiver. Ja'Marr Chase is very much a boxer. I have comped Ja'Marr Chase to Floyd Mayweather. Like that's the type of player that he is. And I've also compared Ja'Marr Chase to the Black Panther. When the Black Panther suit, when it would get contact, it would build up the energy and then it would release that energy in its fight. Well, Ja'Marr Chase loves contact so much so he will continue to fight with cornerbacks 5 and 7 yards down the field and even re-engage with them. He's really good at it. He's really good at it. But I just want the separators.
Yeah.
I want the separators. And that's Devonta Smith. So yeah, sign me up for Devonta Smith.
Ah, interesting. I've been watching the mocks too, and because I saw him going to Miami now and then Ja'Marr Chase falling to Detroit. And I can't say I hated it.
I don't want to watch. I'm a Detroit Lions fan. I'd been a season ticket holder, at least in the 90s, right until they moved into Ford Field, which I think it was 2001. So the Lions have no business drafting a wide receiver because that team is not good. The Lions are very much in line to have the number one pick in the draft in 2022. And so they need to, like, I don't care that Jared Goff is there. Like, they need to draft a quarterback to build the foundation of that franchise. They have no business drafting a wide receiver.
Why not get him in 2022 with the 101?
You could. I mean, you could take Spencer Rattler or Sam Howell. I would love that. Now, if they did take Chase, or take a wide receiver and then got Rattler, or Rattler's my quarterback one, and they got Spencer Rattler at 101, that would make me feel really warm and fuzzy inside. but this quarterback class is so deep. Like, I don't think that you can pass on a franchise player. I'll take a wide receiver next year. Let's get a quarterback in this class, especially when you have, what, number 7 overall. Take Justin Fields. Take Zach Wilson. Take Trey Lance for them to learn behind Jared Goff. I could go into the line. Like, I'm very worried about how they're going to develop a quarterback because you look at the Detroit Lions, head coach is a tight end. Offensive coordinator was a running back. You know, they don't have someone that's proven to develop quarterbacks. Now, Mark Bulger, if anybody remembers, not Mark Bulger. What's his name? I can't remember the quarterback, the longtime quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. He is now their quarterback coach. Pro Bowl, one of the best players in that franchise's history. He is now the Lions quarterback coach, but still, he doesn't have a track record for developing quarterbacks. So I feel so bad for my Honolulu Blue and
Little Silver. Well, you're used to feeling that way.
Yes.
You know, that's like true. The sad part about it. Sometimes we're used to it longer. I was talking to somebody else recently and they're like, man, I've finally just gotten used to it. And I'm like, it's weird, isn't it? I go, the thing is, like, you're always used to it when you're a Lions fan. Like, you're just now getting used to it because it's kind of new that your team's always sucky. I forget who it was, though. So I apologize to anybody out there.
Mark Brunell is the coach's name. Mark Brunell, the long time.
There you go.
Jaguars. It's Mark Brunell.
Well, this has been a lot of fun, man. Anything else you want to tell them about you or you want to push? Tell them where to find you.
I love podcasting. I love doing, being on Twitter. The thing that I love the most is writing. And I would love it if you all would check out my story on burntorangenation.com. I think it's not pinned on my profile. But check out that article on Texas wide receiver Troy O'Meara. I interviewed his mother, his high school football coach, and his trainer, his celebrity trainer. Ooh, down nice. There. And and so included sentiments from them. I'll eventually be releasing like a supplement to that story, be in podcast form, including snippets from those recorded interviews. So check out that. We talked about Tamarion Terry today. Go check out campusdecant.com. Plain scary, Tamarion Terry's journey from Ashburn, Georgia to NFL prospect. That's on campuscanton.com. I've gotten, highlights from.
Didn't you you did something about Deshaun Watson and his legal troubles too recently? Didn't I see that?
Oh, yeah,
somewhere?
I forget all the stuff that I'm doing. So I have partnered with Sleeper Wire in doing kind of short segments for Sleeper Wire. So my first one was what to expect from here. And I'm a practicing lawyer. So what to expect from here on out with the Deshaun Watson case or cases? It's not opinion. It's not like my opinion on what the evidence is, because we don't know what the evidence is, but procedurally, what to expect from here on out with the Deshaun Watson case.
Awesome. Yeah, man. Definitely check out all that stuff. Thanks a ton for being here. Make sure you go to @SharperView. What else do we need to do? I'm @Swagzilla0G. This is @RookieFever. On the Twatterverse, we're leaving the show. Did you watch that? It's like a 9-minute, the Matthew Stafford goodbye video.
Did I watch it? Yeah, I cried through it. Yes, dude, I watched it.
Right.
I watched with tears in my eyes. Yes, I did.
That's what I'm saying too, dude. Like literally, like teared up a little bit. It's so fun. I get like that though. The other day I was watching Toy Story 3 with my daughter, started tearing up just a little bit, and she looked over and busted me out. And at that moment, those like watery eyes went from like just kind of watery to fountains, just in that moment that she noticed for whatever reason. And I don't know.
Yeah. No, it had me tearing.